if not the next whole bunch of years, certainly forever in heaven. That was a really great blend there. And one of the responsibilities we have as believers until we get to heaven is to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can see how some of the ministries today really do that. And even the presence that you have next to the person around you does serve to strengthen them. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself in that way, but that's how the Lord thinks of you, so that must be true. And strengthening brothers and sisters in Christ was one of the last callings in my life that I took on or heard about when I first started to follow Jesus. Getting into the Bible was no problem. Loved God's Word. Read it every day. Nobody has to harp on me about that. Worship, coming and singing His praises and following Him. That was, as soon as I heard that was a responsibility, I jumped on that fairly quickly. Even sharing the gospel, I shared the gospel with others before I could actually connect with other believers. I don't know why that was. That was just the order that I fell in my discipleship. And so strengthening other brothers and sisters in Christ, that came in last in terms of how I felt. You know, that was my responsibility as a follower of Jesus. It even showed itself up when we would come together on Sunday morning, and I used to be terrified at the time where greet one another part of the service. I just dreaded that. I don't know if I had xenophobia, fear of strangers, or what. Maybe part of the problem was I was a stranger to others. Others was a stranger, were a stranger to me, and so I would just, you know, pray through that time, pretend like I was looking in a hymnal or anything just to persevere through that. But I'm a little bit over that by now. But when Jesus rose from the dead, He did tell Peter, hey, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. So He was directing people, Peter right away to the people around Him. That was in response to a question, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Don't take my head off my body. Okay, if you're going to love me, you got to connect with the body, Peter. And remember, Jesus told Peter that even before His crucifixion. He said, Peter, you're going to run away from me. When you're done running away from me, strengthen your brothers. Remember, He gave him that direction in last week's scripture. So Jesus modeled for us how to be that way toward other believers. And it certainly doesn't eliminate our heart for the lost folks. I think if you're going to do one, you're going to do the other. You're not going to be prejudiced on one side of the coin with that one. So even though Jesus was God, He took the form of a servant, and He did on behalf of others, all of us who would receive Him by grace. And boy, that scripture, if we're the one who we feel like we're from the Father, okay? You know, everybody else is the 99, and we feel like we're the one lost, not close to God, wherever we're at. Jesus would come and look for us. That is tremendous news. So let Him do that for your soul today. So we want to try to look at strengthening our brothers and sisters in Christ again. The call to do that, particularly in terms of confrontation, some of your favorite ministries. It's a slow one for most of us. There was an author named Henry Nouwen who wrote a book called Wounded Healer. And that was supposed to be a picture of the Lord, that He was wounded on the cross for us, but He does bring healing to our soul and can touch our body. And that's supposed to be a picture of believers also, wounded healers. So it is not based on your spiritual gifts or your spiritual health in terms of, do you have the ability to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ? It is based on whether you're a Christian or not. If you're a Christian, you have that calling. You don't need special functions or even special training, I don't think. You just have to feel the call, hear the call from God, and go and do that. Be more available than unavailable. And so get that in your soul as a core part of your responsibilities. Strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you and I obey that, we'll always be busy in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's just the way we're going to respond. And again, don't look at it as a particular spiritual gift. I mentioned in the first service just to show my focus as a young Christian was not outward enough. I took a spiritual gifts inventory test, which some of you have taken. You know, you look at the spiritual gifts, serving or teaching or whatever, giving and this and that and the other, and you figure out which one you're strong in. And because I was a young Christian, what I did was, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being really strong, I gave myself a 10 almost every one of them. And that was, of course, that was not based in reality. That was just based on, I could feel that way because I simply wasn't around anybody else. I must be a fantastic Christian. It's just too bad nobody else was impacted by it. But our call to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to see it in the passage when we go to other people. And here's some things to take on as a commitment of our soul from the Word of God. Okay, two general directions we could take in our walk. We could become self-absorbed or we could become a servant of Christ. A self-absorbed Christian, somebody said, is like a spiritual black hole. Okay, it just sucks in everything toward itself and it ends up just destroying what it's trying to take in on itself. Am I going to get served in the proper manner, or am I really excited about how can I serve the Lord and how can I help some other folks out? That's really the focus of health on the right side. We want to get away from the idea of finding ourselves, again, even in the spiritual gifts focus, as opposed to saying, well, we're going to lose ourselves, put away our rights, and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That's really the model and the norm for us. And that soldier mentality, that Navy SEAL mentality, remember the Navy SEALs who said the best quality they have is when they, what can I do for the other guy to accomplish the task? Lose yourself. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Okay, self-absorbed person says, feed me. That's what I say at supper time when I'm not helping. The servant Christian said, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Interesting, in Ezekiel chapter 34, it was the bad leaders that God was rebuking who were pretty much saying, feed me. You know, they were concerned about their own spiritual well-being. Meantime, people around them, they needed fed, but, you know, through what God had already done. So something to check on in your own self. You won't find many chapters and verses that say, feed me. You'll find a lot of chapters and verses that say, feed the sheep. And God will feed us. He's very faithful to do that. This is a strange one, but I thought it would apply. If we're self-absorbed, we're going to end up in the holy underwear syndrome. Now, some of you know what that is and some of you don't. So I won't explain it in detail, but just a bit. Rather being a servant of Christ to say, again, how can I strengthen my brothers and sisters? That God would actually call us holy or to be holy before time began. So that becomes a gift of salvation and a result of salvation. Interesting, that contrast there really shows the difference between the gospel and man's religion. Let's start with man's religion, holy underwear. There is a group that actually believes, and they're getting more prevalent in the culture, that if I wear a particular type of underwear that is holy, that I will be saved from a lot of, you know, parts of my sin nature that are out of control, and I will be protected, spiritually speaking, and I will be closer to God. I got to have them on, though. Okay? And you might say, snicker, you know. I mean, the intent is good. The direction, obviously, is you're not going to find chapter and verse on that one. That's for sure. Now, you probably don't have holy underwear on this morning. I would guess not. But you may be trying to have something in your life that you do that you would equate as making you holy. Okay, whatever that is, that could be your holy underwear. That's a man's religion thing. Okay? So you want to say, that's not going to do it for me. God is going to have to do it. The gospel is on the right side. That Christ would come into our life, really, from Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, telling us that He calls us to be holy way, way before we even showed up. So His salvation really is a gift from time and eternity past. And then we can't figure out the clock thing. How could God do something without me around? You know, that insults my ego. Well, why don't you be thankful? You know, that actually God can give us that gift of salvation, being in fellowship with His Son, equipped to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. A blessing from the Lord. So how do we begin to live out strengthening our brothers and sisters? Okay, we want to get the servant of Christ mentality. Here's some review of last week. Responsibilities lived out. First of all, to respect the person that we are trying to strengthen or confront. Okay, still great respect for them. This is from the Aretha Franklin Study Bible. How many have bought that yet? Not yet. Okay. Some of you know what that means. Respect. Okay, respect people that are in the body of Christ, no matter what their spiritual state. Why? Because they're made in the likeness of God, and also their one soul is worth more than the whole world. That's how Jesus feels about you and the people around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. So they're not, you know, they're not a side issue to be just put in at the end of your priorities. They're right up there, would you say, with the Lord Himself. He's the head. The body's the body. So to look at folks like that, even as you go to confront and point out a sin problem, to empathize with the person. You know, boy, that was a sin that I saw you do. And empathy says, I put myself in my shoes. I can see how I would be susceptible to that also, whatever that is, or perhaps something worse. You know, you go to a person to say, I'm going to confront about sin. I'm going to put into practice what Jesus said. Then I'm going to have to empathize with that person. I want to be helpful. Jesus certainly did that with us when He became a servant. Hebrews 4 talks about Him sympathizing with our weaknesses. Isaiah 53 talks about Him taking our griefs. You know, certainly that's loss of loved ones, but it's also loss in our relationship with God. Jesus said, I want to shoulder that. I know what that's like. And we could say, well, I want to imagine what it's like to be in a person's shoes who is in sin, you know, dear brother and sister in Christ. And then genuineness, be the real you, saint or sinner, and allow God to be who He is through you. If some of you were raised on a farm or observe nature a lot, when a cow is born, okay, it gets life when there was no life, and it kind of stumbles around for a while. A cow doesn't know how to be a cow for a while, okay? It has to learn by observation and by practice. Same thing with a believer. A believer really doesn't know how to be a believer when they first receive Christ. It's like, you know, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act? Often we'll look at others and say, I think I'll act like that. No, I don't want to act like that. And so there's confusion. But to be genuine, and more likely God will use you to help another believer. Struggling believer, if they see you in your struggles. Now here's the hard part, the confrontation, which that whole passage is about that Charlie read. The one is gone from the 99. And then Jesus said, if there's a brother who sins against you, go to them. Okay, go to them. Very difficult call, but it's a good call from the Lord. So we want to do that after respect and empathy are given. Just sharing my own life. I know if I confront my teenage sons and I just read them the riot act or give them what I expect to be done, but I don't connect with them in terms of what they're thinking or what they're feeling at a particular time, my confrontation doesn't help them grow like when I do if I show some respect, you know, as young men, and pass on some consideration as to what they're feeling. So that's a part of Jesus' method. Before you confront, you remember he or she is your brother in Christ. Tremendous value. And so see the sin and point them to the Savior. Now the confrontation is a prophet's calling, and it's, you know, it's a holy experience if you've ever went to somebody and said, you know what, what happened there was against me and that was wrong. A couple of years ago, I told you of a husband and wife who tried to work this out in a practical way, and the wife said, "We've worked it out. So when I confront my husband, I get down on my hands and knees and I crawl to him out of respect and empathy." And somebody asked, what do you say? And she said, "Get out from under that bed, you coward." The confrontation. She had an idea, but it's more than that. It's the prophet's calling. It's to see the sin and point it out. Henry Blackaby said this, "If you're aware of the grave consequences of sin and you don't help your brother, then you're not pointing them to the Lord. If you see the sin and have a love for your brother and sister, you will point out the sin even with weeping, as Jesus did when he wept and as the Holy Spirit does when he grieves." Okay, so it's not something that we enjoy or look forward to necessarily. As you pray for your friend, your motives will be safeguarded to minister to him. And the goal is to strengthen your brother and sister in Christ. Be alert when God asks you to do this. Help them or you too will be tempted. Actually, confronting somebody with a sin is really it's a great opportunity in a secondary way for you and I to get the log out of our eye. Okay, because we see the speck. Okay, it could become infected, could be dangerous, lose your sight. But we realize we have many problems. So how we approach our brother and sister is a reminder to us of the log in our own eye that Jesus has and is delivering us from. Okay, so it's a good benefit when we want to bring confrontation to another person. It helps us get the speck out of our eye. Helps us check our own heart and conduct. The Lord would tell us that. Our goal is the health of the other person, to restore, to build them up, not to tear them down. To do this is a holy experience. It's a calling from God. If we do not confront like Jesus said to do that, then we'll be doing some other things. We'll be in, say, conflict denial. Oh, that wasn't a sin that, you know, they were into. Nah, it was no problem. You see a husband maybe verbally abusing his wife, you know, just tearing her down and massive amount of unlove and disrespect and this. And you look and you say, well, you know, he probably had too much pepperoni pizza or something. And you deny that there's a real problem. He never gets help. The body doesn't act the way it should. And nobody's strengthened. Certainly you're not strengthened. The other result of not confronting would be conflict, avoidance. I see the problem, but I just go the other way. Sometimes we have conflict avoidance in the church. I think I shared Wednesday night. I was in conflict with a fellow one time, and I thought I worked it out, but it wasn't worked out. And if he would be coming down this aisle and I would see him, I would go down this aisle. And he would end up in the other aisle going that way. And it got to the point where when we would come to church, I would actually try to come to church early so I didn't have to see him. But at the same day, he would come to church early. So we would pull in like the same next parking spot next to us. So I figured next week I'm coming late. He came late. It was like the Lord was saying, "Hey, I'm not going to let you guys off the hook over here." So to go to the person, to love them enough to tell them the truth. As a pastor, I get all focused in on worship. I think it's so critical to a person's health and fellowship and everything. So if somebody misses worship on a regular basis, my confrontation without love and respect and empathy, I write down, okay, I say, "Dear Regina, I've missed you in church lately," and she's in the nursery today. But I say, you know, don't forget Hebrews 10:25, big letters, exclamation point. Well, if I don't love that person, that's not going to help them. But if they know, boy, I know, you know, what if you wrote them a letter? That would be something. Mrs. McGillicuddy, you know, she sees me and waves to me, and she hasn't done that for a while, and I think she loves me. She wrote this letter here, cares about me. And then there's some response in the body strengthening each other, part of the Lord's will for us. And it's humbling. It's of Christ. Depending on your personality, you will be very quick to do it, perhaps without love, or you'll be slow to do it without love. You might think, "Oh, I'm just shy. That's why I didn't do it." If you love the person, you'd go. See, I got a relationship with this person, so I'm concerned. And I don't want to see sin drag them down. That's the whole point. And if they say, "I don't know what you're talking about," then Jesus says, "Well, you treat them like a pagan then." That doesn't mean you ignore them. That means you start from scratch and say, you know, Jesus could help us with any sin in life, and He could help us turn to Him and follow Him as a real believer. So you have ministry available, and you do it from the heart of Christ, because he do it the best. One extreme example of confrontation, thank you guys, was between Charlie and Martha Shedd. They were a married couple who often did marriage seminars. Some of you may recognize the names, wrote some books on marriage. They had a very severe verbal battle, probably one of, you know, many after 40 years of marriage. And so it got so difficult that Martha said, "This is it. I'm going to tell Charlie how I feel." She writes him a letter. She says, "Charlie, I hate you. Period. Love, Martha." She almost had it right. You know, she almost had it right. She got the last part right. "Charlie, I love you." Now, she could have said, "Charlie, I hate what you said." That's not bad. "Charlie, I hate what you did. Charlie, I hate what you didn't do. Love. Love, Martha." And it must have worked. You know, they, Charlie says, "I think I really, you know, sinned against my wife over here. I got to go and see what is the deal with that." Remember, you go to the person. If you have a problem with a teacher at school, don't go to the principal right away. Go to the teacher. And you take that analogy all the way down the line. Because people, if you go to another person without going to the other person, all that you're doing is sidestepping Jesus' path of obedience. You know, you'd be surprised how much time is wasted in ministry because person A doesn't go to person B, person A goes to person C. And it's like, this is not going to work. But you go to the one, and God will help. It is also an opportunity to show mercy to a person and say, "You know, I'm not going to reject you. I just want to see you be healthy and walk with the Lord. And I'm not just here to, you know, say, you know, apologize and say you're sorry and take me out for lunch and maybe I'll forgive you." No, it's your heart of encouragement to the other person. Because when you think about it, the biggest confrontation of sin the world ever knew was at the cross. Because at the cross, didn't God say, "I hate sin. Really do. Look at what it's doing to my son. And look at the debt I have to pay. I mean, I hate sin. But I love you. I love you. And I'm I want you to be at peace with me. And so you go to strengthen the other person. And what a wonderful calling to strengthen your brothers and sisters. Some of you are at the age where you lose brothers and sisters through death, through loss. Don't you stop and say, well, they were a providential work in my life. You know, they strengthened me. And how that's your story in regards to brothers and sisters in Christ. That you're there to strengthen them. And what a blessing God would send you to. So let's pray and ask God to work this work. Father, we want to follow you in this calling of strengthening our brothers and sisters. Because we're pretty rugged individualists, this is something we often think is optional, but we don't function well disconnected in some manner. And we could take some steps, Lord, just maybe starting in our own homes, and then with our closest brothers and sisters, and then with a big picture of folks in the Lord, and even take on that role of a prophet. When we see a lost guy, we don't have any relationship with him, but he's killing himself with a sin. We can actually communicate with him, Lord, with the love, grace, and truth of Christ. And he could hear it as if it was coming from you. And there could be redemptive change there. So equip us to do this. It's not easy, but it's of Jesus. And bless each one as they follow you in obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pay close attention to the words of this hymn. It's a good hymn and sung to the doxology. Good summary of the passage, I think.